Picture this. You're cruising at 4,500 feet, somewhere over the Midwest on a warm June afternoon. Partly cloudy, 68 degrees on the ground. Nice flight. The engine is humming. The GPS says you're right on time. You're about 40 miles from your destination, starting to think about the approach briefing. Then, almost imperceptibly, the tachometer drops. 100 RPM. Maybe a little more. You lean the mixture. Nothing. You check the fuel selector. Both. You scan the gauges. Everything looks normal. The engine is running, but it's running rough and it keeps going down. This is carburetor ice. And every year, pilots who were never anywhere near freezing temperatures, never flying through clouds, never doing anything obviously wrong, lose their engine to it. I'm Pattern, this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we're going deep on one of the most misunderstood emergencies in general aviation because the word ice throws people off. They picture a cold winter day, visible moisture, something dramatic. What actually happens is quieter, sneakier, and a lot more dangerous for exactly that reason. Quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the pilot journey. First solo, private cert, instrument rating, commercial, you name it, they've got a coin for it. Real way to mark the milestones, aviationsoul.com. All right, let's walk through carburetor ice from the beginning, because I think a lot of pilots were told what it is during training, but not really shown why it matters on every flight, not just the cold ones. Here's how it works. Most piston aircraft in general aviation use what's called a float-type carburetor. Fuel and air mix in the carburetor before they go into the engine. When air accelerates through the venturi, the narrow part of the carb, it drops in pressure and temperature. We're talking about a temperature drop of anywhere from 20 to 40 degrees Fahrenheit just from the air moving through. At the same time, when fuel evaporates in the carb, it pulls more heat out of the surrounding air. Two cooling effects happening at once right inside the carburetor. Now, here's where it gets important. Even on a warm day, even a hot day, these two processes can push the temperature inside the carburetor below freezing. When that happens, any moisture in the air turns to ice. That ice builds up on the throttle plate, the walls of the carb, the venturi. It restricts airflow. Less air, less power. The engine starts to run rough. Eventually, if it's bad enough, the engine quits completely, and this doesn't require outside air temperature to be anywhere near freezing. The Federal Aviation Administration's own advisory circular on carburetor icing, that's AC65-12A for anyone who wants to pull it up, includes a chart showing the conditions under which serious icing is likely. The most dangerous zone, the one marked serious icing at cruise power, covers temperatures from roughly 20 degrees Fahrenheit up to 90 degrees Fahrenheit. As long as the relative humidity is high enough. Read that again. 90 degrees. That's a summer afternoon in Georgia, that's a pleasant day in Texas. And if the humidity is up, which it often is in those places, you are in the serious icing range. In fact, some accident investigators and experienced CFIs will tell you that summer is actually more dangerous than winter for carb ice, precisely because pilots don't expect it. When it's cold, people remember to use carb heat. When it's warm and sunny, it feels wrong to even think about icing. So people don't. And then they get it. The National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB, has investigated hundreds of accidents attributable to carburetor ice. The pattern is almost always the same. Power loss on approach, or during a descent where the pilot has pulled back the throttle to come down. The descent is important, and we'll come back to that. In a lot of these cases, the outside air temperature was between 40 and 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Maybe some humidity nearby, maybe not. The pilot started descending, reduced power. Didn't apply carb heat. A few minutes later, the engine lost power. By that point, they're low and slow and the field is right there, but not quite right there. The thing is, carburetor icing on descent is extremely common because when you pull the throttle back, the carb is exposed to that low-pressure, low-temperature venturi effect for a longer period without the warming effect of higher combustion, helping counteract it. The colder and moister the air, the faster it builds. Here's something I wish someone had told me clearly when I was training. Most of what you learn about carb heat sounds like it's for emergencies or cold days. The reality is that carb heat is a preventive tool. You use it to prevent the ice, not just to fix it after it's already there. Let's talk about the procedure itself, because the correct use of carb heat is not complicated. But there are a few things that trip people up. First, what carb heat actually does. When you pull the carb heat control to full hot, you're routing warm air from around the engine exhaust manifold into the carburetor. That warm air melts the ice. Simple, but the warm air is unfiltered and less dense than normal intake air, which means the engine will actually run richer and produce slightly less power when carb heat is on. That's normal. If you apply carb heat and your RPM drops a little in an aircraft with a fixed pitch prop, that's expected. That's fine. But here is the worst before better moment that every student needs to hear about clearly, because if they don't know about it, they might turn the carb heat back off just when it's starting to work. If you apply carb heat when you already have ice built up, the engine will often run rougher for a minute or so. That's because the ice is melting and sending water through the engine. The combustion gets a little unstable, the RPM may drop further, the engine may shake. First time you see this happen, it is alarming. It feels like things are getting worse. They are, but only temporarily. You hold the carb heat on, and in a minute or two, the ice melts out, the engine clears, and your RPM climbs back up. If you had ice, it'll come back higher than where it started. If you never had ice, the RPM just drops a little with heat on, stays there, and comes back up when you go back to cold. No ice present. Good. If you apply carb heat, see a further RPM drop in roughness, and then watch it smooth out and climb back up, you had ice. And that should be a mental flag. What are my current conditions? Why did I have ice forming? What do I need to watch for the rest of this flight? Now let's talk about when to use it. The Airman Certification Standards does expect you to know the answer to this, and your examiner will ask, apply carb heat at cruise power when the conditions are in the icing range. Check the FAA chart. Think about temperature and humidity, and if there's any doubt, apply carb heat periodically and check for a response. Some instructors recommend applying it briefly every 15 to 20 minutes in suspect conditions. Always apply carb heat before reducing power, before every descent, before every landing. When you're about to come in from cruise and pull that throttle back, carb heat goes on first, before the power reduction. This is critical, because if you wait until you've been descending for 3 minutes and the ice is already there, you've created the worst-case scenario. Low and slow with a rough engine. Always apply carb heat immediately if you suspect icing. If the RPM drops without explanation, especially during a descent or in humid conditions, carb heat is your first move. One important caveat, some aircraft are turbocharged or fuel injected and they don't have a carburetor. No carb means no carb, ice. Fuel injected engines can still get induction system icing in the right conditions, but that's a different mechanism and a different procedure. If you're flying something like a fuel-injected Lycoming in a Cessna 182 or a Piper Aero, classic carb ice isn't your concern. Know your airplane, know what kind of engine you have. For those of you flying the classic trainers, the Cessna 152, the Cessna 172, the Piper Cherokee, the Piper Tomahawk, pretty much anything with a carburetor and a fixed pitch prop, carb ice is a real and present concern on every flight. Let me give you a specific scenario to think through. You're flying a Cessna 172. It's late afternoon, July, outside air temperature is about 65 degrees Fahrenheit, and the relative humidity is around 75%, partly cloudy. You're cruising at about 4,000 feet. Power set, everything looks great. You're gonna start down soon. You think about the conditions. 65 degrees, high humidity. You recall the FAA icing chart. That combination puts you squarely in the serious icing range. What do? Before you touch the throttle, you apply carb heat full hot. You watch the tachometer. RPM drops about 75 RPM and stays smooth. No roughness. Good. No ice yet. You hold the heat on and begin your descent. Throttle coming back. 5 minutes into the descent, you notice a small roughness. The RPM is wandering a little. The carb heat is still on. The heat is fighting the ice and winning, mostly. But conditions are aggressive. You consider increasing power slightly to add engine heat. You watch it closely. It smooths back out. You keep the heat on all the way to the traffic pattern. Before the landing checklist even gets you to carb heat, you already have it covered. You fly the approach, land, roll out. That's what proactive carb heat management looks like. It's not reactive. It's not emergency response. It's pre-flight awareness and in-flight habit. Now, let me tell you what it looks like when you don't do that. Same scenario, same airplane, but this pilot doesn't think about icing conditions in summer, starts the descent, pulls the throttle back, doesn't apply carb heat. 2 minutes into the descent, the RPM starts to drop. Pilot leans the mixture, doesn't help. Checks fuel, checks everything visible. The engine is now running noticeably rough. The airport is 8 miles away. Pilot applies carb heat, sees the roughness get worse, panics, takes the heat off. The ice, no longer melting, blocks the carb further. Power loss becomes dramatic. Whatever fields are down there, that's where this is going. Could have been prevented at the top of the descent with 5 seconds of habit. Let me hit the memory items. The ACS expects you to demonstrate proficiency in engine roughness scenarios, and your examiner will watch how you respond. If the engine runs rough or loses power unexpectedly, your memory items are mixture rich, carb heat full on, fuel selector both, ignition check both, primer in and locked. You work through those in order. Carb heat goes on and stays on until you've confirmed what's happening. If the engine responds, you have your answer. If not, you're troubleshooting further and you're also starting to think about where you're going to land. One more thing before we wrap this up. The difference in what you see depending on whether you have a fixed pitch prop or a constant speed prop. Fixed pitch is straightforward. If you have carb ice, the tachometer drops, you're watching RPM and it goes down. Pretty unmistakable if you're scanning your gauges. Constant speed props are trickier. The prop governor is doing its job, maintaining RPM by adjusting pitch. So the tachometer stays steady even as the engine is losing power. What you lose instead is manifold pressure. The manifold pressure gauge drops, and if you're not watching it, you might not notice anything until the engine is working hard just to maintain altitude. In aircraft with constant speed props, you need to be scanning that manifold pressure gauge in icing conditions. Don't assume everything is fine just because the tach looks normal. Here's why this emergency is different from most of the ones we train for. A lot of emergencies are sudden. The engine quits, the door opens, the electrical system goes dark. You know immediately that something is wrong and you start the procedure. Carburetor icing is insidious, it builds slowly. The first sign is so small that experienced pilots miss it, 100 RPM, maybe less. By the time it's dramatic, you're already in trouble and low on options. The only real way to protect yourself is to never let it get dramatic in the first place. That means knowing the conditions that produce it. That means applying carb heat before you need it, not after. That means building the habit so deep that on a July afternoon with a high dew point, your hand goes to the carb heat control at the top of every descent without you even having to think about it. Before your next flight, take a look at the FAA's Advisory Circular AC65-12A and study that icing probability chart. Get the picture in your head, and when you're doing your pre-flight planning, check not just the temperature but the dew point spread. If the dew point is within 10 degrees of the temperature, humidity is high and you're in the window plan. Accordingly, this segment drew from FAA Advisory Circular AC65-12A, the FAA Airplane Flying Handbook, and NTSB accident reports on power loss events in piston engine general aviation aircraft. All of it is available at faa.gov, more at radiohangar.com. Take care of yourselves out there, and take care of the airplane.